Welcome to the D Program, a desensitized look at sensationalized media. Here are your hosts, Angie and Sarah.
All right. Well, here we go. Welcome to another episode of the D Program. Thanks for tuning in today. We're glad to have you joining us. Before we get started on our topics today, just a reminder to make sure you subscribe and review and share with your friends. We're really hoping to grow this podcast if you're enjoying it. So we'd love for you to be able to do that for us. That would be helpful. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Gab for all the latest. We also have a website that has a ton of information we encourage you to check out. It's www.thedprogram.net. So check us out there for all the latest and greatest. But until then, thanks for tuning in and we'll get going with our show today. I assume you brought some great topics again, Ange. You want to get started with your first one?
Sure. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was these new emails that got revealed between old Dr. Fauci, the king of all kings, and our friend Mark Zuckerberg. These were some emails that it was an email exchange that was back in April on April 8th. And it was an email exchange about controlling the virus, and the government approved narrative basically revealed how, you know, they were planning to streamline the lockdowns and vaccine development. Zuckerberg wrote to Fauci part of the email saying, "I want to make sure we have all the resources you need to expedite the development of a vaccine." Fauci emailed him back. I won't go into, you know, the entire email thread, but they talked about longer term and resources to expedite development of the vaccine, and that was an area that was getting a lot of investment. So that definitely raises some eyebrows.
Yeah. And what does that even mean? Zuckerberg is telling Fauci, "We want to make sure you have all the resources to develop a vaccine." What the heck does Zuckerberg have to do with developing a vaccine?
That was my first question. Why is the guy that runs, that developed Facebook, why is he involved in vaccine development? I mean, and that should tell people right there, big pharma and big tech collaborating. It's like something out of a fiction novel. So says Brandon Tatum, who is the article that I was reading, his Tatum report. And he said, basically, we give an inch, they don't take a mile. They take it all.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that big tech and big pharma are even collaborating together in this kind of a development should have everybody questioning what the hell is really going on here.
Absolutely. Because the role of the media, or the role that the media is supposed to provide to the public, is to be a watchdog for government. They're supposed to be scrutinizing things that the government does and making sure that everything's on the up and up. This sick, incestuous relationship that they have is extremely dangerous because there's nobody watching the watchers. You know, I mean, who's keeping an eye on this stuff? Certainly not media companies.
Right.
So this is a problem. We'll definitely post these emails on our show notes page. Is there anything else that comes out of them that was, I do see there's still some redacted parts of it. So it'd be interesting to know what was redacted.
Right. I will mention, and this kind of goes along with my second topic, which obviously we'll get to. It's just interesting to note that the social media industry, it's all funded by big liberals, which we'll talk about, like I said, when I get to my second topic, but it begs the question of what's really going on here.
Yeah, I think it was the episode I did solo, and I had a little clip that I played by this basically Chinese dissident who's like an authoritarian expert. And he warned that America in a lot of ways is already authoritarianism. And it does remind me of some of the warnings we get from people who have experienced authoritarianism and how it encroaches on a society. And it's often an infiltration. It's not just a big takeover from the top. It's an infiltration from the bottom. And we're seeing this in our education system and in our entertainment industry and in the social media industry and media in general. And so you have this whole one-sided narrative everywhere you look. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. The other side then gets censored and suppressed. And this is how governments tip towards authoritarianism and tyranny. Yeah, it's scary to see these huge entities in bed together. It's really dangerous.
Yeah, obviously, I think everybody out here that listens to our show, they know how we feel about Dr. Fauci. And I feel pretty much the same way about Mark Zuckerberg, to know that the two of them were working together, collaborating together.
Yeah, so those emails are enlightening for sure, to see this kind of relationship that big tech and social media companies are having with the government, the very people they're supposed to be scrutinizing. So it is concerning. But I did see a video clip that came out recently that's been making the rounds on more of the alternative media. A lot of the big media is trying to suppress it and fact check it, which we can talk about the fact checkers, or that's your second topic, isn't it? So we will the fact checkers, the supposed fact checkers. But
yeah,
I mean, this is a little video clip I'll play for you so you can just hear it in their own words. You can hear it for yourself and decide what you think of it. But this is a conversation between Dr. Fauci and Mark Zuckerberg. Let me just play this little snippet for you right now.
Okay.
It will not be the first time, if it happened, that a vaccine that looked good in initial safety actually made people worse. There was the history of the respiratory syncytial virus vaccine in children, which paradoxically made the children worse. One of the HIV vaccines that we tested several years ago actually made individuals more likely to get infected.
So there you have it. I mean, these people know what's going on behind the scenes. They discuss it, they have conversations about it, and then they fact check themselves. Well, no, we didn't. That was out of context. We didn't really mean that. Everything's great. Let's push forward with these vaccines. What can we do to help you push forward with these vaccines? What information can we suppress for you?
Right.
I mean, it's not a good situation. It's not a good relationship.
Yeah. Social media developers should not be involved in vaccine development.
Right. And it is a weird conversation to have. You know, what is the role of social media?
I think Mark Zuckerberg was trying to come off like, well, how can we help you get the information out there? We can use our platforms to help for the greater good. And we all know that how many times they use that saying on the left, you know, everything's for the greater good. But I think that's kind of where Mark was trying to come from, saying that we'll obviously use our platform to help get information out there and spread information that can help expedite this and streamline everything.
The social media companies like Facebook have this special rule that Congress gave them to get immunity from lawsuits, because they claim we're not a publisher of it. We don't publish information. We're just basically a bulletin board that people can post publications from other publishers. So we can't be held responsible for what is put on our site. It's not our information. It's just, like I said, we're just a bulletin board. And so the Congress granted them immunity because they had a point. They don't publish the information. They're just think of an actual bulletin board. It's not right. A blank slate. What gets put on it isn't their information. And so they have this immunity from lawsuits. And this has been a big debate for a long time, because as you see now, Facebook is publishing their own information. They're censoring some stuff. Their algorithms put other stuff at the top. They're putting out information that they get from Fauci or whoever. In essence, they kind of are a publisher. So they're working around this immunity now, fact-checking certain things. But if you're not a publisher, if you don't have any say in what goes on your platform, then you shouldn't really have any say in what you decide is fact or fiction. Again, if you're going to get immunity from lawsuits, then you really need to be hands off. But they're not, right. Not hands off. You can see that they're not hands off here. They're very much promoting certain ideas, censoring other ideas. If they want to do that, that's fine, but that changes the type of business they are, and they certainly shouldn't have immunity from lawsuits and different things. It's definitely a problem here. So
that's what I have for my first topic. I wanted to talk about those emails being exposed, and we'll just have to kind of keep an eye on it and see if more emails come out.
Here's another interesting thing that I'm just reading here through this email. He says, Zuckerberg to Fauci says, if we're looking at prolonged period of tightening and loosening shelter restrictions around the country, then if there are aggregate data reports that Facebook can generate to facilitate these decisions, we'd be happy to do this. If there are other aggregate data resources that you think would be helpful, let me know. So in case you didn't know, all you Facebook users out there, your information is being used to help determine whether a certain county or state or different area should be locked down or not based on symptoms and different things. But it's not just your doctors being involved in this now, it's your social media keeping an eye on it. There's these couple of videos that I've seen over the last week or so that have come out. They're satirical videos that have been done where, I don't know if you've seen them, but where you have a guy, he's like in his house, in his kitchen, just minding his own business, cooking himself some dinner, and he coughs, just coughs.
Oh yeah, I did see that one. It's hilarious.
Right. And then he hears over a loudspeaker, yeah, a cough has been detected. You know, people will be showing up momentarily to take you to a secure facility and monitor, you know, all this. And he packs a bag and tries to bug out. And
I think I even reposted that. I thought that was hilarious.
Yes, those are funny, but not so funny because, you know, you start thinking about what social media can see of us already, the way we allow them into our lives. We just give them over all of this information about us. Mm-hmm. They're in our homes, they're on our phones, in our pocket all the time. Phones, cameras, and you can imagine a day not too far in the future where, yeah, you cough and all of a sudden you got Zuckerberg pounding down your door. You know, it's bizarre, but it's not that much of a stretch from what is possible. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, God forbid, but
right. There's a lot of things, and we've talked about that before. There's a lot of things going on today that a couple of years ago we would have never thought were going on, but here we are.
Yeah. And if you read the novel 1984 by Orwell, the thing that strikes you is, so they were obviously watched all the time by this TV in their house. It was a TV that they brought into their house. I mean, they did to themselves. And you look at what we have allowed in our own lives as far as our privacy and our data and what we just voluntarily, without even thinking, are willing to do, and how easily that can be used against us and how quickly it can be used against us in the wrong hands. So it's scary as to what they could do if they wanted to. But yeah, that video of...
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. I mean, funny, but kind of scary.
Yeah, because it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Right. And here's the thing, why it's kind of funny, but not very funny, because right next to that satirical video, you can find a video that is not satire, that is actual true. A guy is traveling to Australia.
Oh, that's right.
Right. And he,
those little cabins or whatever.
He's documenting his entry into that country and how he has to quarantine for 7 days. He's documenting it like it's some vacation retreat and how great it is. He's taken from the bus off the airplane with gowned and masked people, doctors and nurses or whatever, medical professionals, mm-hmm, that are completely gowned up and masked up. And he's taken to this cabin where he's isolated for 7 days. He's documenting this as if, oh, look at how nice this cabin is. We get food delivered every day and nice little snacks and a little welcome package. And
thunderstorms in the afternoon out on the patio, you know, whatever, out on the porch.
Right. Yeah. And he's documenting it like it's some nice little retreat. And I'm thinking two things. I'm thinking, number one, a gilded cage is still a cage, right?
Right.
And number two, this is day one. He's walking in, and I can imagine having a little retreat, a little solitude for a day might be kind of nice. You take a book, you cozy up with a cup of coffee. Okay. What happens on day seven when you have had no human contact? You're in isolation. I mean, this is the worst form of torture they do to the most hardened criminals. They put them in solitary confinement.
Right. And I was going to say too, you know, he like jazzed up the video with cute music and he showed like a before and after of decorating his little room or whatever, putting his personal touches on it. Just, it was sickening.
It was sickening. Can you imagine that we're normalizing this, that this is okay? Like, we're trying to say that this is an okay thing and we should be happy about this, about being put against our will in solitary confinement for a week.
Well, guess what? If there's people out there that watch that and go, oh, wow, this doesn't seem so scary. It doesn't seem so bad. It doesn't seem so negative. Then yeah, we give them an inch. They don't take a mile. They take it all.
That's how we get to the satirical video of we cough and then all of a sudden stormtroopers are knocking down our door, taking us to isolation. I mean, that's not that far of a leap from reality to that, unfortunately. So
right.
It's scary, but That's what happens when you have these big, huge, powerful players like big media, Mark Zuckerberg and Dr. Fauci, who's accountable to nobody, in bed together. This is what happens. So
it's not good things.
And I think we'll probably talk a little bit more about this kind of stuff on your second topic. So stick around for that.
For sure. What have you got for us, Sarah, for your first topic?
For my first topic today, I don't know. Have you been to the grocery store lately? Good God. I went to the grocery store the other day and I was shocked at the bill. Shocked at how expensive it was. So I wanted to talk about inflation today, which we start a lot of our topics. We talk about some important topics, a lot about COVID and vaccines and medicine, and we're not doctors. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the economy and inflation, and we're certainly no economists. But here's the thing. We're just average people. We're average moms, wives, sisters. We're just living our life. We're the ones going to the grocery stores. We're the ones doing the Christmas shopping. We're the ones putting gas in the car when we're shuttling the kids around to their stuff. So we may not know all the intricacies of the economy and what happens, but we're the ones feeling the effects of it. So we wanted to talk about it. And we know a lot of you are too. So we want to kind of get into this and try to figure out what is going on. And like I said, I am certainly no economist. That's for sure. I'm not even very good at math in general. So
yeah, math is not my forte. Yeah. So I need a calculator.
Yeah, no kidding. But here's the thing. And I think that this is true in the whole vaccines and COVID and the medical system too, is that you have these so-called experts, and I'm using air quotes when I say that, because yes, these are complex issues. I don't doubt that. But a lot of times I think the experts want you to think that they're so complex that there's no way you can understand them. So don't even try and just let us take care of them because we're the experts. And right. So I think that's dangerous because some of this stuff, while yes, there is some complexity to it, no doubt about it, some of this stuff is pretty common sense. And I think we sell ourselves short if we think we can't understand this to some degree, at least. And so we're going to talk about some of the more simple aspects of this. Number one, I think anyone with a fifth grade level of education can understand supply and demand, right? I mean, you get more of something, the value goes down. When something is rarer, the demand is higher, the value increases. I mean, that's pretty easy concept for most people to understand. And we look at these things like gas prices, food prices, all these things that are skyrocketing. It's not that these products are increasing in value. What's happening is the value of the dollar is decreasing, right? So that's when you get inflation. It's not that gas is suddenly more expensive, that the supply and demand of gas has changed, you know, oil. The supply of dollars in the economy has increased so dramatically that the value of them has gone down. And that's what happens when they print money. And they print money when they want to go to war, when they want to raise the debt ceiling by trillions of dollars and pass all of these trillion-dollar bills, they print money and they devalue the dollar and we get inflation. This has been something governments have done from the beginning of time. They used to debase the currency, and that was when they would use gold for coins, when we actually had a gold standard. This is way back in the day when money was actual gold. And they would debase it. They would add base metals to the gold coins so that you'd have less gold in your coin.
Interesting. So
they actually used base metals to add to the gold so there would be less gold in it. So they could thin out the gold, right?
Stretch it out further.
That's right. And basically make it worth less. But that's where the term debase the currency comes from, is when they used base metals to actually add to the gold. So that's the same idea now. It's easier to do now because we aren't on a gold standard anymore. We just use paper money, fiat currency, right? It's not backed by anything. It's just paper. And the reason governments like the idea of fiat money, money that isn't backed by anything physical, is because it is so easy to just print it. You have the printing presses running round the clock, and they can print all they want. And this is what they've been doing for some time now, and it's catching up to us. Mm-hmm. So they have two ways to raise money. They can tax us or they can print money, they can inflate the money, but you can only tax a people so far before they start to revolt. Mm-hmm. Your other option then is to print money. And that is a tax because it devalues the money that's in your bank account. It just, it's like an invisible hand that reaches into your account and takes 10% out. We don't see it. We don't think about it, but that's exactly what it does. It's the most sinister tax. It taxes the middle class and the poor most, in fact. And so it's the worst kind of tax, but that's where we're at. And that's what's happening. And what's scary to me is that if you look over history at some places that started down this road with fiat money, yes, first it started with some run-of-the-mill inflation, but then oftentimes what happens is they get hyperinflation. And hyperinflation is where you're taking wheelbarrows full of cash, like wheelbarrows full of cash to buy one loaf of bread. It takes that much money, or it just, it has no value and you're just using the dollars to burn, to keep warm as fuel because they're just worthless. Mm-hmm. So that's when your economy is completely destroyed. And I hope that's not where we're headed, but the inflation we're feeling right now is certainly taking its toll. If you're not aware of who Peter Schiff is, you should become aware. He's a really bright guy and a smart economist. I want to play just a little clip. He was on Tucker Carlson the other night. And so he has a way of kind of explaining this stuff that helps the layperson like me understand it a little better. So I wanted to share what they were talking about here, just to give some context to this conversation, is the CPI. The CPI, the Consumer Price Index, is what our government uses to measure inflation. And as with most things that our government does, it's a bunch of propaganda. So even the CPI, even their own numbers, which they admit at this point, because they can't deny it anymore, that inflation is pretty bad right now. But even that isn't the whole story and isn't the truth. And Peter Schiff kind of explains what's really going on. So let's take a listen to what he has to say about the CPI.
You know, the CPI wasn't always this dishonest. When they compare our inflation rates to the inflation of the 1970s, we're not using the same CPI that we used then. The annualized rate of inflation so far, according to the CPI for 2021, is 7.3%. If you annualize the first 11 months, that's the worst rate since 1982. But if we were using the same CPI as we used in 1982, the rate would be closer to 15%. Which means it's the worst year in inflation in U.S. history, because the highest one year was 1980 when it was 13.5%. And this year it's more than that.
So what he's saying is the government's telling us inflation's at 7%, but the measurement they're using, they've changed. And if we go back to use the measurement that they used to use, it's actually at 15%, which is the highest ever recorded in American history. So inflation's at 15%. And I just wonder if there's anybody out there who's been getting a 15% raise in their pay over the course of the last year, because that's what it takes just to break even now. It's a problem and it's scary. And people are starting to really feel it in their pocketbooks.
One thing I did want to say, I thought it was interesting. I mean, I did feel the pinch at the grocery store in Vegas. I mean, there were times where, like you say, I went to the checkout and was just blown away at the cost. Here, things are a little different because things aren't as expensive. I was going to the local Kroger here a few times until I read some news about that and changed my mind.
We're going to talk about that a little later for sure.
Kroger won't be getting my business anymore, which is fine, because when I go to this other store, they actually have an area where you can go and you can get hard cider or a cold beer or a glass of wine and do your shopping. And
oh, that's awesome.
That's kind of like they had me at drink while you shop.
Yeah. It's certainly different than I don't go to Walmart. I used to shop at Walmart quite a bit, but they're almost 100% self-checkout now.
Oh, really? I haven't been to Walmart. I don't think I've been there since I moved here.
I was so annoyed by that. I haven't been back, and that's been months and months and months now. I guess one way some of these stores are combating the higher prices, I mean, you can only raise your prices so much before people change items or do something at cost.
Right.
I suspect one of the ways some of these stores are combating that instead of continuing to raise prices is to cut costs somewhere else. Obviously, one place is payroll.
Staffing,
yeah. You're seeing more and more of the self-checkouts. And this is the problem, you know, inflation. And when your economy starts to be destroyed by this government spending, you see higher prices and you see lower quality, mm-hmm. both in goods and services. And this is part of that process. And it's sad. We were in the envy of the world at one time, and we're not headed in a good direction right now. So, but I saw an article a while back about, I think it was General Mills cereals are going to start, the boxes are going to be, they're going to have the same profile as far as how wide and high they are, but they're not going to be as deep. So from the front of the shelf, it's going to look the same size, but it's going to be a smaller. So that's the other thing you should watch wow. for. The prices may stay the same, but you're going to get less product. Like look at the bottom of say a peanut butter jar. I'm just using peanut butter as an example, but, and I don't, cause I'm not sure that they are doing this at this point, but certain products, if you look at the bottom of the jar, there's a big indentation at the bottom.
Oh yeah.
The jar, it's almost, it goes it's almost hollow at the bottom. So this is another way they sneak that in.
Sneaky. I was at the grocery store the other day and my son and I were looking at an item. It was vitamins, and the little jar of vitamins was literally less than half full. I mean,
right. Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know what's going on here.
It's inflation. Going up. Your money doesn't buy as much as it once did. It's not as valuable. And like I said, it's just the worst tax because you don't see it. You aren't aware of it, but it just steals money right out of your account in the middle of the night. It's a scary problem. And, you know, we talked about war on the last episode, and this is one of the dangers of war. And this is what happens to empires. They go bankrupt. They go bankrupt because they overextend themselves militarily and they can't afford to do that. And they end up going bankrupt. They aren't defeated militarily, but they go bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And a lot of countries know this and strategically try to entice countries into their own demise this way. And we may have been dumb enough to have fallen for it.
Right.
I think the most important thing to understand with inflation is this is 100% the government. This is the government. This is them printing money and spending money like drunk. I hate to even say that they're spending like drunken sailors because I think it gives drunken sailors a bad name. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just, these bills that people cheer for. Yes, we need this. We need that. We need free everything. We need free education. We need free healthcare. We need free childcare. It's not free. And you're seeing that. You're paying for it. You're paying for it at the gas pump. You're paying for it at the grocery store. You're paying for it with a devalued currency. So the government just needs to stop their ludicrous spending habit. But good luck with that too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on. We're on to topic two. What have you got for your second topic, Ange?
So more of Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, fun. I was just thinking, and we haven't talked about Zuckerberg enough yet. So let's talk some more.
Right. Yeah. So Facebook has finally been exposed. I think most of us that have any kind of social media or have any kind of involvement in anything online, we've all had our run-in with the quote unquote fact checkers. And Facebook has finally been exposed for the lies that lie behind the fact checkers. And they finally admitted that the fact checkers that basically police social media are really just opinions. What a lot of us have already known all along that these fact checkers are bullshit. But thanks to John Stossel, who brought about a lawsuit which exposed the left and their battle for this misinformation. John Stossel had posted a while back about climate change, a couple different videos, and was basically just questioning whether it was real or not. And Facebook flagged the post and fact checked it and all this other stuff. And so that's when John Stossel brought about this lawsuit. And Facebook, I guess, then they tried to say, oh, it wasn't their problem. And Stossel's real beef was with the science feedback. And then Facebook also argued that the fact check that they slapped on Stossel's post was protected opinion under the First Amendment, which we kind of talked about a little bit ago about how they can get in under the wire on being protected by just basically being a bulletin board of information, if you will. But it's interesting to note that fact check industry is funded by liberal moguls like George Soros, government funded nonprofits and tech giants themselves. So these fact checkers are not the unbiased arbiters of truth that they want us to believe that they are. And I think it's a huge distraction too. And I don't know where it's going to go from here. It'll be interesting to sit and watch if Facebook continues to slap us with all these stupid fact checks that we know are just opinions of the elite left and not really fact checking at all. They're not unbiased truth seekers that they want us to believe. So like I said, I don't know where it's going to go from here. I mean, a lot of times I get excited. I see these things happening in the news. I'm like, oh yes, finally, you know, that's getting exposed. Or before I've gotten excited about Ted Cruz talking about things in Congress, I'm like, hell yeah, Ted, get it. And then nothing ever happens. Mm-hmm. Although I feel like this is some progress in the right direction on exposing all the bullshit on the left, I also kind of wonder like, what's really going to happen? Where's it going to go from here? Is Facebook just going to stop fact checking?
Doubtful. But yeah, that's interesting. First of all, I don't know if you're aware of John Stossel's work, but he's amazing, by the way. I didn't realize when you sent me this that he was the one that filed the lawsuit. I remember him being pretty upset when he posted those videos about climate change and they got fact checked. I remember him talking about it, but I didn't know he had gone ahead and filed a lawsuit. And then this result was from that. So fantastic. Stossel's amazing. I highly recommend checking out his work, and he's written some books. And
have you read any of his books?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He has one. They've been out for quite a while.
Yeah. He's been around for a long time.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. His one book, I think it was called Myths, Lies, and something or other. I can't remember the full title, but it was fantastic. He used to be a consumer goods reporter where he
That's right. Yeah. And yeah. When I was reading this article, and I was like, oh, John Stossel, I feel like I haven't seen him in the news in a long time.
Anyway, he's really good. He's quite good. But the other thing for me is that when this whole concept of fact checkers first became a thing, which I don't know when Facebook started doing this. I mean, Facebook was around a long time before they got into the fact-checking business. Mm-hmm. But I remember the first time I became aware of this idea that there were, as you mentioned, arbiters of truth. I mean, first of all, that concept that there's people out there in this world among us that are the keepers of all things that are true and factual and correct, and they will dole that out at their leisure, is the most ridiculous idea I've ever heard. Could you imagine if some of the most profound and world-changing discoveries, those kinds of things won't happen anymore for a while till we get past this. But I mean, look what they did to Galileo in his day. Could you imagine what they'd do to him today if he tried to tell everyone that the world orbited the sun and not the other way around? The idea that we can't have discussions where people disagree about things without one side being labeled misinformation, it's so Orwellian, it's laughable. And the fact that it has been allowed to go on this long in our public discourse is shocking to me. A fact checker, I mean, and they don't even come up with creative names to call themselves. Like, that's so Orwellian.
Like, come on, you're so basic.
Yeah, like, come up with something a little less obvious. Fact checkers, like,
what? Well, and also too, if you've ever been fact checked, there have been a few times that I've gotten fact checked and then I click on it to just read the bullshit. And there have been a few times where the reason that they give me has nothing to even do with my post.
Right, right.
And these people are just like, oh, okay.
They figure nobody's probably clicking on that, but if other people just see that, it'll just turn them off from it. You know, right. Who knows what the motive is, but yeah, I've had that same experience.
Yeah. Or like if somebody else's post, not even my post, you know, and if it's been fact checked, sometimes I'll click on it to see what the heck. Lo and behold, it has nothing to do with the post at all. And it's like, God, how can they get away with that? How can they get away with that?
This is why I've been saying we need a parallel society. We need our own social medias. We need our own medical establishments and educational systems. These people have lost their minds. Mm-hmm. They don't value free speech. They don't value the things that once made America great. They're destroying the very foundational ideas of what built the greatest country to have ever existed.
It's like all the systems are becoming corrupt, all of them. I mean, everything from the FBI and law enforcement to our school systems.
It's hard, and it's hard to fight all these battles on all these different fronts. Like I said, part of me just thinks we need to just build a whole different system that caters to people who still value the
right. I would be okay with that.
It is interesting when you think about that, because, you know, I've been advocating for Gab. I keep trying to get people to move from Facebook to Gab. And I'll say this about Gab. It's still a little glitchy. It's a young social media site. It's not what Facebook is. I'll just grant you that. But there's freedom of speech there. Stuff isn't fact-checked. You can find information there. Now, freedom, people should know. And this is, I think, where people get a little uncomfortable with the idea of freedom, but freedom is messy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a quote by Thomas Jefferson, I think. He said something to the effect of, I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences of too much liberty than to too small degree of it. So you go to a place like Gab, where there's complete freedom of speech, you know, there's some ugly stuff too.
Yeah, you're going to have to sort through things.
Yes, but they have a block feature. You block the things you don't want to see. I mean, I will say this, it's not like there's a bunch of pornography or things like that. That's not, but there are ideas that I totally do not agree with and I think are borderline dangerous, but they're allowed to have a platform there. But there's a couple of benefits of having that rather than censoring information you don't agree with. And number one is, if there are people who have dangerous ideas or ideas that potentially could be dangerous if enacted, you'd rather have them out in the open in the light of day where you can see them and you can say, okay, there's some people I want to avoid. And they have a block feature at Gab, but you drive groups of people and ideas underground and it can almost become more dangerous that way, you know? So, So again, I think the idea of freedom, while it can be messy and there can be inconveniences and dangers with full freedom, I think they're much less dangerous and inconvenient than if we didn't have enough freedom, which is where we're headed at places like Facebook. Mm-hmm. So you have Gab, you have some of these places. They're not as great yet. They're new. They're in their infancy. And there's some other issues, you know, like I mentioned with having that kind of freedom. Mm-hmm. But if we support them, they can grow and we can start to build a different infrastructure that does value freedom. Mm-hmm. At any rate. So yeah, I don't know how we got on to the topic of a whole separate parallel society.
I don't know.
We were talking about Facebook fact checkers. That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
And just how everything is, you know, all these different systems are being infiltrated and becoming corrupt. So
yeah, these fact checkers, it's awful. And it's so disturbing. And like I said, I mean, it's so Orwellian.
So now that they're found out, I'm just really super curious as to how things are going to continue.
Right. But are they? Because so this is a little article and a lawsuit that nobody's paying attention to. And so you and I that are kind of news junkies or whatever are following it. And the people maybe more conservative are following it because we're annoyed with the fact checkers anyway. But The bulk of people, are they even aware that this lawsuit happened and that this was the result and that Facebook basically did come out and admit, yeah, these are just opinions? I don't know.
I would hope people would know.
Well, if they don't, they should be listening to the deprogram so that they can be deprogrammed.
And well-informed.
Well-informed. So
that's right. Anyway. All right. Well, should we plug along here?
Yeah. So my second topic, of course, we've gone almost this entire episode without talking about COVID and the vaccines and all of that stuff. So we can't let that happen. So of course, my second topic is just more COVID stuff in general. I've got a couple different things I want to talk about with respect to COVID and the vaccines. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking lately about, well, I've kind of thought about this throughout this whole nightmare we've been living through the last 2 years, but what the long-term effects of this is going to be, especially on young people. I mean, obviously the long-term effects on a 75, 80, 85 year old aren't that critical, just to be blunt, to be frank about it. Right. But when you're talking about the long-term effects, you're talking about the kids, the young people, and what's going to happen with them in a decade or two. And the reason that I've thought about this a lot lately is because I feel like our leaders, if you will, our political elite, the people making these abhorrent decisions, aren't thinking about this. And one reason that leads me to believe this is because our leadership in this country is very, very old. In fact, I just found out, I watched a Tucker Carlson segment the other night, and he pointed out that actually it's the oldest, if you take the average age of Congress, it's the oldest in history. I mean, you have Biden, who's 80 something. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, all these people are just old, really, really old. And I have reverent respect for the elderly. I think they can bring a lot of wisdom, and their perspective and their historical perspective on things is vitally important. But to have nothing but old people deciding on how the future of this country is going to be raised, I think is a problem. I mean, they are so out of touch with the needs of young people. And here we have a pandemic, a disease, a crisis that affects, you know, people talk about it being a pandemic of the unvaccinated. It's not. It's a pandemic of old people. It's old people who are affected by this.
Right.
It's not the young people, but yet they're making decisions for the young people who, A, aren't affected by this pandemic to a large degree, and B, are the ones that are going to have to suffer the long-term consequences of these decisions and actions.
Right.
The best person to make decisions about something is the person that's going to have to suffer the consequences of those decisions.
Makes sense to me.
That's usually who's going to make the best decisions. And here we have people making decisions that will have to suffer none of the consequences of them. And it's really dangerous. And, you know, as a mother, you can sense that these things that are happening to our young people, to our kids especially, not good, just not good. This isolation, this taking them out of school, this all of these opportunities that are lost for them that they'll never get back, opportunities to travel and to see the world and to make connections.
Well, and a lot of the development too, that is not happening because of these freaking worthless masks.
Which is what I wanted to mention, is that there was a study that was just done. What they found was that babies born during the pandemic have a lower IQ to the tune of 20 points compared to babies born pre-pandemic.
Gosh, that's 20 sickening.
Points. 20 points.
So unnecessary. So unnecessary.
It is absolutely unnecessary. And what's frightening is, what is that going to mean in 30 years?
I know. What's this country going to look like?
So Joe Biden doesn't care about that. He's going to be long gone by then.
Yeah.
These decisions that these old people are making have serious consequences to our young people. You don't know how this is going to affect the development of a young child, of a baby, of a preschooler, of somebody who's trying to develop language skills and social skills, not to mention the isolation and the stress and the trauma. We've focused so much. We're hyper-focused on COVID to the detriment of everything else, to the detriment of mental health. You look at the suicides among young girls have skyrocketed over the course of the last year and a half. The drug overdoses, which is largely a disease of young people.
Mm-hmm. And the addictions that are being developed.
That's right. So drug overdose deaths have hit record highs in 2021. Record highs, over 100,000 people have died of a drug overdose. These are consequences of the decisions that people by the likes of Biden are making. And it's criminal. That study regarding the IQ of babies was really startling and
so sad, really sad.
So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. The other thing I wanted to talk about was a study that came out a couple of days ago about ivermectin. We've talked about ivermectin on this show before. In fact, I did a whole segment several shows back about the history of the drug and some of the studies that had been available by that time, which were already adding up. There were quite a number of studies regarding ivermectin and its use in COVID specifically, but in viruses in general too, frankly. But the evidence was mounting even back then. But if that wasn't enough, there's been yet another study to add to the mounting evidence of ivermectin's use in COVID. So this was another study done on ivermectin that showed a 45% lower risk of dying from COVID among ivermectin users in this study versus non-users. So nearly cuts your chance of dying from COVID in half using ivermectin, according to this study. Also, a prophylactic use of ivermectin, using it prophylactically, showed significantly reduced COVID-19 infection rates. So just another study showing the promising results of ivermectin. And it's really sad when you think about it, because there's just study after study showing that this is an effective prophylactic and early treatment for COVID, yet you still have hospitals refusing to give it to patients. And there was just another story recently about a family who had to go through the court system and sue the hospital and force them to provide ivermectin to one of their family members who was dying of COVID, and it cured them. In a matter of a few days, they were off a ventilator and awake and talking. And I'm just flabbergasted. I have no words for what has happened. The only thing that makes sense is a way to push the vaccines, I guess. Mm-hmm. They have a cure or a prophylactic to COVID. It makes their vaccines a tougher sell, I guess. But the fact that they would be willing to sacrifice human life to push their vaccines.
Well, it just goes to show how sick and evil these people really are.
Exactly. So if they're sick and evil enough to go down that road, then are these the type of people that you'd want to be taking injections from? Are these trustworthy people that the medication that they are pushing, you're comfortable with taking from these kinds of sick, evil, and twisted people? I don't know, something to think about, I guess. But So I wanted to talk about ivermectin again a little bit. And the other thing I wanted to talk about briefly was, well, you had alluded to it earlier in the show about Kroger grocery store. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so weird because I read through these headlines and I'll have a day or two where I'm feeling really hopeful and optimistic. I'm seeing some really positive things. We went over some court cases last week on the show. And I saw some headlines just over the course of this week talking about Amtrak, that they're going to be lifting their vaccine mandates. I saw another headline where I think it was the CEO of either Southwest or Delta Airlines wanting to get rid of the mask mandates on airlines.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah. So I didn't bring that article today, but there was some talk about that. Of course, that's the government mandate, but at least to have some upper level people in these companies starting to voice opinions about it. It was a good sign. Mm-hmm. But then you get dejected when you read articles talking about Kroger charging unvaccinated workers more for their health insurance, and also taking away paid COVID benefits. So I guess that means, if I'm understanding that correctly, if you're vaccinated and you get COVID, you get so many sick days paid. I don't know how many it is. Say it's 14. Mm-hmm. Let's just use for number. But if you're unvaccinated and you get COVID, you only get 3. Again, I'm just making up numbers, but the point is, whatever those numbers are, it's less if you're unvaccinated. So creating a completely separate second class citizen here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you really get the short end of the stick. If you work at Kroger and you're unvaccinated and you get COVID, you're really getting the short end of the stick.
You're paying more and you're receiving less.
Yeah.
And then I saw a headline that Google, they're done. They've just jumped the shark. They're just firing all unvaccinated people. They have decided they're done playing games. They're not going to tweak this or tweak that. They're just firing all unvaccinated people. That's it. They're done.
They're firing all unvaccinated people.
According to CNBC headline on December 14th, it says Google tells employees they'll lose pay and will eventually be fired if they don't follow vaccination rules. The more information we get about the fact that these vaccines don't work, I mean, you look at Omicron, it's the vaccinated that are getting sick with Omicron. And there's studies that are pointing to that effect, that this isn't just anecdotal now. Actually, Omicron affects the vaccinated more than the unvaccinated.
Well, and we have the audio clip we played earlier of Fauci stating that sometimes the vaccines do more harm than good, and they don't really work as we intended them to work. So again, it's almost like the Facebook fact checkers. Are they still going to keep putting the fact checks on our stuff, even though we have found them out? Same thing with the vaccines. Like, okay, we literally have Fauci admitting that the vaccines may not be working like they were supposed to, and they're still going to require them?
Right. And that's what concerns me so much, is that it seems like the more damage there is to the vaccines, the quicker and faster they're trying to push everyone to get them, which, you know, is typical of what tyrants do. We've talked about this quite frequently, is that when they start losing control, they have to speed up before more of the masses catch on to what's going on. And I think we're at that tipping point, that critical mass, where we're seeing that the vaccines are not working, which frankly, I mean, if you're a logical person, which I know most people in government and the rule makers in our society are not. But the other thing about Omicron that we're finding out at this point is that, number one, as we mentioned, the vaccines don't work. In fact, they seem to be make it worse. They seem to be the ones that are getting Omicron. But Omicron is not dangerous. I think one person, last I read, and that was a few days ago, it might have gone up by now, but one person worldwide has died from Omicron, none in the United States. I mean, one person.
Yeah, they're saying too that the symptoms are really mild.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe not for somebody that's vaccinated, but for the unvaccinated, it's like a cold.
So what is going on here? You've got Omicron that more people that are vaccinated are getting it than unvaccinated, but it's not killing people. It's not hospitalizing people. That's not what we're seeing yet. So that's good news. Why not let it run its course? I mean, that's the best case scenario, but it's weird because instead of that, what they're saying is, no, you should get a booster. The booster works on Omicron. Let's grant them for just a minute that that's true. Although I don't believe them because I don't believe a word that comes out of their mouth, but let's pretend that if you got the booster, that would protect you against Omicron, even though they developed this booster for Delta. But let's somehow imagine that it works for Omicron. Let's just grant them that for a minute. What would lead anyone in their right mind to believe that there wouldn't be another variant? They're putting themselves on this infinite loop.
Yeah. When does it stop?
Booster variant, booster variant, booster variant, over and over again. I mean, when do they hop off of that?
They're just on like this COVID variant vaccine booster merry-go-round, like we've talked about before, not going to be part of the problem in creating variants.
That's right. Because again, and we have discussed this, is that it's these vaccines that are likely contributing to all these different variants. I mean, this likely would have been over at least 6-12 months ago without all these vaccines. It's unfortunate. My only hope is that with each new booster, more and more people are going to drop off of this merry-go-round, this hamster wheel, and come to our side. Anyway, but that's the latest on what I've learned about COVID this week. If you guys are hearing anything new or interesting, please forward that information to us. We like to stay up to date. I know there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of different things going on really quickly, so it's hard to keep track of it all. But that's what I've found interesting over the course of the last week with respect to COVID. I don't like what Kroger's doing. You know, the other thing I'll say about Kroger and some of these companies that are, you know, some of them seem to be moving in a good direction. They're dropping mandates. They're getting rid of masks. That's great. Others are moving in the opposite direction. They're firing employees or charging them more for health insurance, whatever they're doing to coerce them into getting this experimental injection. And you kind of mentioned it when you were talking about it initially, but one thing we can do as consumers is we can vote with our pocketbook. We can frequent stores that support freedom for their employees. We can boycott others that are oppressive and oppressing their employees. So if you're so inclined to switch grocery stores, if you use Kroger regularly, to something else, we should take advantage of choices where we still have them, because our choices are getting fewer and fewer. So
that's right.
So that's it. That's all I have for my second topic. And we'll keep an eye out and we'll move into our good news stories. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's time for a little feel good, a little all happy. Right.
What do you have?
So I ran across this article about a World War II vet who is celebrating his 105th birthday. So Major Wooten, who served in France during World War II, he received the French Legion of Honor at a combination medal ceremony and birthday party in Huntsville, Alabama on December 3rd. So it was kind of a dual celebration for him. Vincent Homerel, who was the consul general for France in Atlanta, decorated Wooten with this medal on behalf of French President Emmanuel Macron. What a way to celebrate your 105th birthday. Not only would that be a celebration in and of itself, turning 105. God knows I won't make it that long, but then to also receive this high honor. So I thought that was a pretty cute little article and wanted to give a little shout out to Major Wooten. So happy belated birthday. Thank you for your service and pretty impressive honor to have.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I will post the article. It also says that he had actually contracted COVID last year, but recovered and is doing well. And his strength has recovered. And
I thought I mentioned that when I first said this, did I leave it out?
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You might've. Sometimes I don't listen to you.
I know. Likewise. So anyway, yeah, I just wanted to give a little shout out. Thank you for your service, Major Wooten. Happy birthday and keep on keeping on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what about you? What have you got for your feel good?
Okay. So I have to talk about this guy, Jim Finch. Many of you might've seen him. His story is going around social media quite virally. Obviously we're all aware of the devastating storms that hit Kentucky and some other states, the tornado damage. It's just tragic what happened there. But as often happens in times of great tragedy, it brings out some of the best and most inspiring in men. So this gentleman is no different. His name is Jim Finch. He drove a half hour or so with a grill on the back of his truck and a truckload of food and just parked right in the middle of Mayfield, Kentucky, one of the worst hit places, and decided to start cooking food for people and feeding them just out of the kindness of his heart. No, he wasn't really with an organization, just felt compelled as an individual to do whatever he could. And they asked him, do you have a restaurant? And no, just wanted to bring food to people. And
just solo good citizen.
Yeah. I'm just cooking hamburgers and hot dogs and things that are easy to kind of grab and go. And so they can be on with the work they have to do, but I wanted to make sure they had something warm to eat. And so he's just sitting there in the middle of the road cooking for everybody. And so just a great guy with a great heart and doing just a little something that makes a big difference to those That's people, I'm sure.
I love heartwarming stories like that. It gives me hope in humanity.
Yes.
You know,
they're out there, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay. Those were our good news stories. What about our quotes today?
So my quote today comes from the French poet, Paul Valéry. And his quote is, "The best way to make your dreams come true is to wake up." The best way to make your dreams come true is to wake up.
Yeah, that's a good one. Very good.
So what have you got? What's your quote today for us, Sarah?
All right. Well, I actually had two. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Kind of cheating. I had one picked that kind of went with, I was actually looking for one that had to do with inflation because that was one of my topics. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at some people that I think are really brilliant economists, the likes of Harry Hazlitt or Milton Friedman or Ludwig von Mises. These are just brilliant economists that I try to read, but most of their work is way over my head and I can't even understand it. But at any rate, they had some great quotes, but as I was looking through quotes about inflation from them, I found this other quote from Ernest Hemingway, of all people, about inflation. He had something to say about inflation. And this is what he had to say. He said, "The first panacea for a mismanaged nation is inflation of the currency. The second is war. Both bring a temporary prosperity, both bring a permanent ruin, but both are the refuge of political and economic opportunists."
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. That's a good one.
You know, we talked about war last week and inflation this week, and he mentions that both of them are a panacea for a mismanaged nation. And that's where we are. That's where our leaders are heading, towards war and inflation. So it's not a good sign that they've done a good job as leaders of our nation. But anyway, so that was my quote that I had kind of picked. And then I was scrolling through some information late last night. I found this other quote that I just liked so much. I wanted to share as well. This quote is by Emma Goldman. And it says, "People have only as much liberty as they have the intelligence to want and the courage to take."
Yeah, that's a good one too. Those are both great quotes. And you'll obviously post those on our show notes page.
I will.
And I'm almost caught up. Well, you do a great job with the show notes page.
Well, I encourage you all to take a look. That's where we have all of the information we discussed for your reference. And I'm almost caught up to current. And by the way, we should let our listeners know we will be off for the next 2 weeks to celebrate the holidays with our families. So we'll have kind of a 2-week break, but I hope you come back after the first of the year and join us for some more deprogram. We're glad that you've been listening thus far and hope you plan to continue joining us. In the meantime, I will get caught up with all of the show notes page before we come back. So that'll give you something to do over the break, as you can check that out. Other than that, like I said, don't forget to subscribe and review.
Like, share.
Right? Share with your friends.
Show us some love.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Gab. Over the break, we'll definitely be posting stuff on those places, so you can follow us there. And hope to see you next time after the first. Have a great holiday season with your family. Enjoy the Christmas season and the new year. And we'll see you back next time.
Merry Christmas and much love and health and happiness for the new year from the Deep Program.
Until next time.
Cheers.